Let's stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn your Bibles to two places. First of all, to Proverbs 13, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And you might put your finger there in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and be ready to turn over there in just a moment. That's Proverbs 13 and Ecclesiastes 5. All right, look there in chapter 13 and verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. All right, let's pray.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. These two verses that we read tonight are not my life verses, but they are two principles that, and two scriptures that often I strive for and that I often draw encouragement from. I want you to consider two phrases from our two text verses this evening. The desire accomplished and a dream cometh. A desire accomplished and a dream that has come. What was a desire? What was merely a dream? Something that didn't really exist yet, except in the mind and the heart and the imagination of the dreamer. But it wasn't a reality, and now it is a reality. Now it is accomplished. Now, people have all kinds of dreams that never come. They have all kinds of desires that never are accomplished. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to start. They want to finish. But they never do. They never accomplish their desires. And they never see their biggest dreams come to reality. Now, I'm not talking about a bucket list of things you'd like to do and see and places you'd like to go. I mean big life stuff. People want an education, but they don't want to go to school. People dream big dreams for their children when they're newborns in the crib, but they don't want to put in the day-by-day work of rearing and training and educating and praying and helping their children get from newborn to 18, 19, and 20 years of age. People want to see a golden wedding anniversary, but they don't. People want a career, but they don't see it through. People want a ministry, but they don't see it through. People want financial freedom, but they don't want a budget. They don't want to take baby steps. They don't want to control their spending. People want to get a college degree, but they don't see it through. And there are so many that dream, but they neglect the multitude of business involved in bringing that dream to reality. Now, again, I want to qualify this in a couple of things. First, we're not talking about a bucket list of things that I'd like to see the Grand Canyon. I'd like to climb Mount Everest. And there are also some dreams we have when we're younger, and sometimes life just goes sideways on us, and because of things maybe beyond our control, just the circumstances of life, we're not going to see some of the things we once dreamed about in our lives. I'm not discussing that either. I'm discussing a Bible principle that if you want something, you've got to go get it. If you want to have your dream become a reality, you've got to get busy. You know, there seems to be a disconnect for a lot of people on what it means to achieve success in life. They're waiting for their ship to come in. Boy, if that next lottery ticket just lines up, they'll suddenly have all the things that they dreamed of. This fatalistic idea that what's meant to be is meant to be. It'll just happen. And what's going to happen is going to happen no matter what I do or how hard I try. That's not taught in the Bible. Martin Luther said that God feeds the sparrows, but He doesn't throw the seed in the nest. Bird wants to eat, he's got to go out and find the seeds. God feeds the sparrows, but he doesn't spoon it to them. And we have to understand that, you know, that if we want things in life, if we want to see our dreams come to reality, if we want to see our desires accomplished, then we have to take steps and get into the multitude of business to see those things come to pass. Sometimes people become religious because they think that if they can just get God on their side, all of a sudden everything will fall in place. And they want God's blessings, and so they get into church or they become religious, and yet they don't practice what the Bible teaches about working for your bread, working by the sweat of your brow, rising up early. All those Bible principles that God teaches us about providing for ourselves and for our family. But many times they bring shame on the cause of Christ because in the workplace, they're the lazy ones, the undisciplined ones, and yet they're the most outspoken about their religion. But they think that's going to be a surefire magic wand principle of success. Boy, these days you can become rich pretty easily. Just write a book on how to be successful. And get enough folks to buy it, and all of a sudden you're rich, and you don't even know if it works or not. But it's all right, they bought the book. Notice the difference between the fool and the wise man. The wise man has a multitude of business. The fool has a multitude of words. One man is always talking about what he's going to do, while the other man's busy. He's hustling. He's working. He is taking the steps necessary to get where he wants to go. Now, the way to success is through careful planning and persistent execution. And it's not going to be popped in the microwave and come out in 30 seconds. It is something that usually takes a long time. Some people look at those who are successful in life and they want everything that they have now. But what they see as instant success is really the accumulation of many years of planning, working, daily business that has resulted in, after 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, what other people see as instant. It wasn't instant. And now listen, I want to challenge you this tonight, especially the young people. Listen, you have been given a double birthright. Number one, you're Christians. And if you're saved, you're God's child. If you're saved, you're a Christian. But you have also been given that great birthright of being an American citizen. I mean, listen, you could have been born in Somalia, and instead you're born in America. And by the way, don't come to me with a bunch of anti-American stuff. I still think this is the greatest nation on God's green earth. And I sorrow about what is happening in our country. I grieve over the injustices and the things going on, and I think we have a terrible administration. That's my opinion, and I think it's right. And I think our economy is suffering, and it may never recover. I hate to tell you that, but it may never get back to the highs where it used to be. And it may be that young people have the deck stacked against them in some ways, but you're still American. And you have opportunity. You can do what you want to. You can be all that you want to be. You can live anywhere that you want to go. You can have any kind of job or career. If you set your mind to it, you can achieve that. You can start your own business. You can raise your family. You can live in the city. You can live in the country. You can do what you want to do because this is America. And how sad it is that so many young people, they're wasting their youth. They don't want to do their schoolwork. They're lazy brain because they're afraid that the other kids in school won't think they're cool. Let me tell you something. When you're 30 years old, it's cool to have your own house. When you're 30 years old, it's cool to have your own car. When you're 30 years old, it's cool to have a job and a future. Don't listen to the other 12 and 13-year-olds and think, oh, you're a nerd because you study. One day they're going to call you boss or ask you if you want fries with that. You have opportunity. Don't waste. How sad is it that with so many thousands trying to get into this country for the opportunities that are in this land, and Americans are wasting their years of school and high school, and all they care about is the newest iPhone. They couldn't care less about bettering their lives and seizing their opportunity. I'm trying to preach a principle tonight that used to be understood in America. That if you want something, you gotta go get it. It's not going to just fall into your lap. It's not going to just fall into your hands. You have opportunity, but you must go out and seize your opportunity. So many American young people, and it's not just young people, but they can't see past the newest iPhone or the newest Game Boy or whatever, the newest game system. have no plans for life. Well, when I was a kid, and maybe I was weird. Well, I might have been weird. I always wanted to be something. When I was a kid, my dad was in the Navy. My dad was a Navy lieutenant when he retired. And I wanted to go to Annapolis, and I wanted to be a Navy captain. There was a time when, I guess when I was about Joe's age, that I loved animals so much that I wanted to be a zoologist. Work in a zoo. You know, I got got close to that, you know, pastoring, but close enough sometimes. I should have wanted to be in a circus. That'd be closer. But we have young people. Listen, the high school have dumbed down their requirements so much that now young people going into college, the teachers are having to teach them remedial English and math just to get them ready for college because the public schools are doing such a bad job teaching them academics. And then when they go to college, they have no idea what they want to be. They waste years trying to discover what they want to be. They finally graduate. The average graduate from college in 2014 was $30,000+ in debt when they graduated from student loans. And many times they can't even get a job because what they decided on their major, they decided we're going to have a major in ancient Greek architecture. Or my major is in the influence of the moon on mosquito larvae. You know, something great, arts is, you know, and things like that. Where is the wisdom of looking to the future and saying, one day I'm going to have to provide for myself. And I'm young and I can choose what I want to be. I can choose. I mean, maybe I can't be everything that everyone else can be. I mean, certainly I would not be a center in the NBA. We all have limitations. Maybe I could be a water boy, but not a center. Careful planning is so important. But then you have to execute your plans, and that takes time. And then the desire is accomplished. But there's a disconnect somewhere for a lot of people. They want it, they have dreams, they have desires, but they don't want to start taking the little steps. They want someone else to do it for them. They just think it's going to happen, and then they're surprised one day when it didn't happen. Any desire that is accomplished is accomplished through the multitude of business. Now, when I think about the Ladies Spectacular coming up that our church is hosting, you know, we didn't decide to do that till January. My wife and I were sitting at Olive Garden down in Garland eating lunch, and we were kind of saddened that the people who were running the Ladies Spectacular kind of dropped the ball one year and didn't look like anyone was going to pick it up, and so their meeting was about to go out of business. And so we decided that we would take that mantle and or take that responsibility and make it happen. And over the last 8 months, Mrs. Rasberg, this was in her heart. She wanted to do it. I wouldn't make her do it, obviously. She wanted to do it. She had to get together with churches and get churches involved and pastors' wives involved and delegate responsibilities and plan it all out and get people involved and volunteering and helping with different things. Now, most of the 200 ladies coming so the meeting in 2 weeks are just going to come and enjoy themselves. They're not going to give a thought to the centerpieces on the table. They're not going to give a thought to the decorations on the walls except to say, that's nice. And that's fine. They're the ones who are coming to be a part of it. But there's a lot of work, a lot of planning, a lot of execution that goes into any project worth doing. Do you want to be something? Do you have a career that you want to pursue? Do you have a calling to pursue? Then plan ahead. Think it through. Talk to those who've done it. Write it out on paper. And decide that through the multitude of business, you're going to achieve your goals. It's a Bible principle. Now, I think about our church buildings. You know, it's easy if you haven't been here very long to take for granted the buildings that we enjoy. And these beautiful new pews that have 2.5 inches of super high density foam. Those of us, I never got to sit very much, but those of you who remember the half-inch foam we used to have in the old pews, and that creak when you sat down in them. And, you know, but everything you see was worked. You know, Brother Cecil sits back there, all quiet and nice and such and that. You know, Brother Cecil has built so many things with his own hands in these our buildings. Classrooms and done so many things. I mean, building from the walls upstairs, all that had to be built. The carpet, everything had to be put in. And I can't tell you how much time I've spent walking through empty rooms and thinking about what this would look like and what that would look like and scratching it out on paper and then saying, Brother Cecil, can we do this? And, you know, and then men coming up to help, ladies helping. I'm saying that if you want to do something, folks, it doesn't just happen. You have to have the multitude of business to see your dream come to reality. If you have a dream, it's not going to come through the multitude of words. You guys that play sports, you can sit there and say, I'm going to be the best player this year. Say it all over the place. It doesn't matter if you don't put in the practice time. And honestly listen to your coach and work on your skills. You've got to put the work into it. And if you want to be ahead in your business or if you want to start a business, then you have to think it through and quit talking about it and actually do the work that's necessary. I think sometimes, I see this with missionaries sometimes that are young guys that are excellent at raising support. And then they quit after 1 year on the field. Because when they get over there, they find out that, hey, it's a lot of multitude of work to stay. And I see it in pastors too. And see it in church members and business people also. Tonight, let me give you a few thoughts on accomplishing your desires. Number one, first, there must be a dream. There must be a desire. Now, Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king of Persia. One day he heard about how the city of Jerusalem was lying in waste because the walls had been torn down. And he became burdened, began praying about the situation there in Jerusalem. Now, I believe that the desire that was in his heart came from God. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. As a spiritual leader in the church, what I usually do is I wait for God to touch my heart about something. I want him to put a desire in my heart. I want him to put a direction in my heart. I want him to put a vision in my heart. And then I want to run with it. But I believe that desire came from God into the heart of Nehemiah, and he had a dream, he had a vision. Now, how is he going to do these things? How will he, who is a cupbearer in faraway Persia, what can he do to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? He didn't know, but he had a desire, he had a dream, he had a wish to do something for the glory of God. It's got to start out as a dream. It's got to start out as a desire. When I was, you know, most of the major decisions in my life were made before I was 25. For one thing, I wanted to be married. So I just waited and a wife just fell out of the sky. Right? Just came floating down. She fell down before me and said, what must I do to be your wife? No, sir. It's not enough to say I want to get married. You got to go out and find the girl and win her. Yeah, whatever happened to that? One of these days, guys, you're gonna, when you're older, much older, you have to go up to some girl and say, can I sit with you in church? Actually, what you should say is, did you think your dad would mind if I sit by you in church? You know, things just don't happen. And, you know, I wanted to do God's will. God called me to be a preacher. When I was 17, I didn't know there were Bible colleges. I don't think I ever heard really anyone talking about Bible colleges except Pensacola Christian. And they didn't really talk about that for training preachers. But I wanted to be a preacher. And so my pastor said, well, you need to go to school. You need to get training. I said, where do I go? He said, well, there's a school over here in Fort Worth. I said, okay. So we drove over there. I'll never forget. We drove up down I-20. In Fort Worth, South Fort Worth, turned off on Campus Drive, and there's TCJC, the big community college over there. And we pulled off, and I said, is that it? And my pastor laughed. He said, no. And we pulled into Worth Baptist Church, and you know where the college was? In the upstairs of the Junior Department Sunday School building. So they had Junior Sunday School there on Sunday, and we had Bible college there Monday through Friday. Tuesday through Friday. And that's where I started Bible college. Let me tell you something, though. Training for the ministry is not necessarily fancy facilities. What I got from the preachers that taught it is what mattered. And it was good stuff for back then anyway. But I had to go. And I remember I got the dress code for Bible colleges. Bible college is like going in the military. You had all these rules and standards, and I was a young Christian. Saved 2 years. He said you had to have a jacket and a dress shirt, a tie, slacks, and dress shoes when you came to class. And I didn't have any of that. And my friend said, where are you going to get these clothes? I don't know. I'm just going to Bible college. If you want to do something, you got to do it. And I had to take those first steps. 17 years old, started Bible college. I wanted a family. I remember the day when I decided we wanted to have kids. Didn't want to have kids. When I first got married, kids and me, it's good for you to have your kids. I just didn't have any desire. I remember we spent the night babysitting for a family in our church, and the kids were so good that God really put it in my heart the desire to have children for the first time. And when we started having our children, we had desires that they would grow up and live for God. Now, you can't just say, we want our kids to grow up and live for God. You've got to then carry it out for the next 18 years. You've got to put it into practice. You know, and on and on and on. I wanted an education. I had these things that I wanted as a young person. I wanted a house in the country to raise my kids in. Look, folks, you're in America. There's so much you can do. But you've got to have a desire. You've got to have a wish. You've got to have a plan. But it all starts out with a dream. It starts out with a desire. And I thank God that I've seen so many of those desires accomplished and so many of those dreams come to pass. But at first, that's to start with a desire in your heart. Number two, then comes the multitude of business. Multitude of business. Let me give you six steps. Number one, you got to make a plan. This works no matter what you're doing. You got to make a plan. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Take a big project, break it down into medium-sized tasks. You take the medium-sized tasks, you break it down into small tasks. I used to hate it when, especially in the summertime like this, it'd be 100 degrees out, come into work in the late afternoon, and I'd pop open a trailer on the freight dock, and boxes would fall out on me. 53 feet deep, 10 feet wide, 8 feet high, boxes, floor to ceiling. And I think, I'm going to spend the whole night emptying this trailer, taking boxes down, unloading them. But how do you do a job like that? One box at a time. And you know what? Before long it was done. So you have a big job, you break it down into tasks. What's the old carpenter rule? Measure twice, cut once, right? Otherwise you have a lot of wasted lumber. Far better to measure twice. So what do you do? You write it down on paper. It didn't cost you anything to write it down on paper. One of the best things Brother Smith ever taught me was, son, before you do anything in a building, write it down on a piece of paper. You can throw a piece of paper away. You can't throw a wall away. So make a plan. Do you want to go to college? Make a plan. One thing I'm proud of Elizabeth, and I'm proud of all my kids, but this is one thing I'm proud of for her, is that she has a plan. She wants to work. She got a second job starting tomorrow. She's saving up her money. She's a cheapskate. When I was buying sodas for her, she'd get the 44 ounce. Now that she's buying sodas for herself, she gets the 16 ounce. I got to embarrass her while she's still here, right? And I'm proud of her because she has a plan. Her plan is to pay her way through school. With Bible college, you have to be paid off before you can graduate anyway. One of the best things about Bible college. And I appreciate people that have a plan. Do you have a career? Do you have a calling? Do you want A's in school? Do you want to homeschool your kids? Do you have a big project at work? Do you want to win in sports? Do you want to pay off your debts? You've got to have a plan. Write out a plan. Planning is not exciting. And no one else ever sees it. They just see the product. But planning is so important. Well, the road to my house right now is no fun because it's all in construction. Highway 78 past Walmart, going toward Levon. And I'm tired of driving through that construction. It's just so wearisome sometimes. But it's going to be super nice when it's four lanes. But it's been pretty fun. I think Joe has enjoyed it anyway to see how they've started out, and they come in, they start tearing the road out and leveling it, and now they're putting a new bridge in, and and see them building that up, and then they're carrying the dirt out, putting it other places, smashing it down. You have all these things going on at the same time. But you know where all that started? It started in some architect's office with maps and charts and what do we need to do here and what do we need to do there. And it was all laid out and planned out before the first bulldozer showed up on the scene. You've got to have a plan. Don't wait for the ship to come in. Make a plan. All right, number two, you got to get started. Nehemiah got to Jerusalem. He looked around, motivated the people, organized, began to build. But first, he had to get on the road to Jerusalem. He was in Persia. The fool talks, the wise man walks. You're not going to get anywhere sitting around talking about going someplace. The old Chinese proverb, there's a lot of them, aren't there? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a trip to the bathroom. It begins with the first step. The first step. And so the fool doesn't get started. If Nehemiah had sat back here in Susa and said, well, I got a comfortable job and I hope someone builds it, but I'm not going to take the first step. None of that would have ever come to pass if he had not taken the first step. Then you've got to, number three, you've got to take care of business. A multitude of business. Nehemiah had to motivate the workers, had to clear out the rubble, had to acquire materials, had to organize the workforce, had to solve problems, and this was day after day after day for 50 days. Now, most of our problems are not going to be solved in 50 days. But every little task gets you closer to the dream accomplished. Every little task. When we think about the big things we've done at our church, such as the big remodel we did a few years ago. Did you know that big remodel in which we financed not only the existing church mortgage, but also rolled into it everything that we did and got such a good deal on it? And that was an amazing victory. But what was behind that, that most people don't see, was taking care of the bills every week, taking care of the books, offerings coming in, taking care of business. So that when our church went to the big bank, and the big bank said, well, normally we don't help churches unless they have 100 families. But here's what the vice president said. He said, but y'all take such good care of your business that we think you're not a high risk. See, the big payoff was the big remodel. But what led up to that was the multitude of paying off the bills, keeping good credit, taking care of business so you could have the big payoff. I can only use illustrations from my own life, folks. I'm sorry. These are the big things in my life. And I'm proud of my church. And I'm proud of my family. But it could be a many, you could have your own illustrations of things that you have seen accomplished, but it didn't just happen on graduation day or promotion day or the big success day, but it was you doing your job day after day after day after day after day that led to the big payoff and the big promotion or the big success later on. You got to take care of business. Even the boring routine stuff. And in there a lot of that. All right, number four, you have to overcome obstacles and opposition. Every dream comes with its own nightmares. Nehemiah had to deal with enemies. Then he had to deal with discouragement. The people said, there's much rubbish. Well, there was less than when they started, but they're discouraged now. They had obstacles, had enemies, had troubles outside, had troubles inside. But if you have a goal, then you've got to overcome your obstacles. You've got to press through to success. Number five, you have to work hard. Nehemiah worked on the wall. He didn't even take his clothes off except washing. He didn't have any days off. Didn't take any extra bonuses. Didn't take any vacation time. He stuck with a strict schedule to get the job done. Hard work is where the rubber meets the road in success. Some people want success, but they don't want the hard work. Let me tell you something. You have to fear failure. So many people today don't fear failure. You have to fear failure. You know what has motivated me with my children as they've grown up from 17 to 11? What motivates me is the fear of failure with my children. Am I with you all tonight? Y'all with me? What motivates me When I, you know, as starting a church, what motivated me so much of the time was not just the desire to start a church, but the fear of failure. The fear of starting something and not be able to finish it. The fear of starting something and failing and maybe having to go back to my old friends and go back to my old church and everyone know that I started something that I didn't finish. The fear of failure was a motivating force in my life and still is. I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be a failure. So you got to have the fear of failure. You got to work hard. You got to work. You know, there's got to be a concern that if I don't do my job, my family won't be fed. There's got to be a concern that if I don't do my job, someone else will take my job. There's got to be a concern that if I don't do my schoolwork, I will fail. There's got to be a fear of failure. And so many don't have a fear of failure. But I'm telling you something. Mommy's not always going to be there to bail you out. Sooner or later, you got to take responsibility and realize it's going to be on you and it's going to be all on you. And you're going to have to work hard if you want to have success. Number six, you've got to be patient while working hard. It took Nehemiah 50 some odd days. It took Joseph 13 years to see his dream come to pass. Accomplishment is not a microwave dinner. It's going to take time. So you got to make a plan. You got to get started. You got to take care of business. You got to overcome obstacles. You have to work hard and you have to be patient. And then thirdly, after the multitude of business, the dream cometh. After the multitude of business, the dream cometh. Now Solomon may have thought of the temple. It was his father's dream. Boy, his dad wanted to build the temple. Boy, David loved God. He wanted to build a temple that was exceeding magnificent above all the things in the earth. But God wouldn't let David build the temple because David had been a man of war and he had a lot of enemies and a lot of people hated David and didn't want that bloodshed associated with the temple. So God allowed Solomon, who was had a peaceful reign, to build the temple. David had raised the funds and then there was time in which the plans were laid out and then 7 years of hard labor and a workforce that was organized. And then finally, after 7 solid years, the temple was completed. And the worship of God was instituted in that place and God blessed it. But it was after the multitude of business that the dream came. Again, Ecclesiastes 5:3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business. You're not going to find what you want unless you go out and look for it. You've got to work for it. That's a principle of the Bible. It's a principle that people respect around this country. And it's a principle that will help you throughout your life. If you want it, go get it.